Today we begin in Ephesians chapter number 2. We'll read down together verses 1 to 10 in Ephesians chapter 2. But before we begin today, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art, Father. We thank you for this opportunity to open up thy very words, Father. Father, bless us now as we continue our study, Father, through the book of Ephesians. We pray that you'd bless your word as it goes forth, and as you promised, it would not return void. And bless the listener today as well. We pray we'd be edified in the things of thee, Lord, built up, strengthened in thee this day. Father, we pray and we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 2, let's read down together verses 1 to 10. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Before we were saved, we were in a terrible condition described in detail by the Apostle Paul. But once we received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, our horrible situation was changed instantaneously into a wonderful life with a glorious future. We are saved by His grace, as we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. That is, Christ has already done for us everything that is required to save us. You see, my friends, the work is finished. All we need to do is put our faith in His finished work on Calvary. In fact, our salvation is a gift to us by God. Therefore, there is no good work that a man can do to save himself. In fact, turn to Titus chapter 3 with me. Titus chapter 3. In Titus chapter 3, in verse number 5, the words of God tell us this: not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. If we could, amen, we would boast, as all religious sinners do, who hope to gain heaven by their good works. See? Notice in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, not by works, lest any man should boast. See? We can't boast, as all religious sinners do, or try to do. because we are saved by grace through faith. Nothing that we've done, but based solely on the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cruel cross. Now let us see our true condition before our salvation. Let us see the change as a result of our salvation. Before we were saved, we were dead. That's right, dead in trespasses and sins. We read, amen, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. At birth, we are alive physically and spiritually until we sin with the knowledge of sin. Amen? That's what the words of God say explicitly. Let's look at some verses together. First, I want us to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 39. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 39. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 39, we read this. Moreover, your little ones, which he said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. And here, of course, is talking about the little ones or the children of the Israelites that wandered in the wilderness. Their parents sinned because they had knowledge of sin. But the little ones, the children, were allowed to go into the promised land because they weren't accountable. They had no knowledge of sin. They didn't understand sin. Amen. So let's look at Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 in verse number 14 with me. Mark 10 verse 14. Mark 10 verse 14 says, but when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. You see, he's talking about the innocence of children. Amen. Because the disciples rebuked them that wanted to bring the children to Jesus, and he said, allow it. Allow the children to come to me, forbid them not. See, for such is the kingdom of God. One enters the kingdom of God with the faith of a little child, amen, by faith, amen, believing what God said. And then we also want to look at Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 with me, and we'll look at verses 7 and 9 once we get to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verses 7 and 9. The words of God say, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay. I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. So where there is no law, knowledge of sin, amen, he's saying, Paul was saying, the law which shows us that we're sinners, amen, and we're innocent until then. Just as a child is innocent or held not accountable until he has an understanding that when he sins, he has the knowledge of sin while he's doing it. Then look in Romans chapter 4 with me. Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4, we want to read verse 15. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. So without the knowledge of the law, when you sin, a child does something wrong, they don't have knowledge that they're doing wrong or knowledge of sin, they're held unaccountable. But once a person gets to that age of accountability, as we call it, and they understand, amen, they have a knowledge of sin, that they're doing, that it is sin, amen, then they're held accountable. After that, we were still physically alive, amen, but we were now spiritually dead in need of a new birth to enter the kingdom of God. As Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. Amen. Now, we're looking at our condition before salvation. So we saw, first of all, in verse 1 of Ephesians 2, that we were dead in trespasses and sin. Now, also, if we look at verse 2, it says, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. So we walked according to the world, the course of this world. In other words, we follow the course of this evil world, which passes away and leads to death and destruction. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4, the words of God say this, who gave himself, referring to Jesus Christ, who gave himself for what purpose? For our sins. Why? That he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God in our Father. See, he came, he gave himself for our sins. Because we needed to be delivered. Because before we were saved, amen, we walked according to this world, this evil world. That's how Paul describes it, this evil world. Now, we want to look at also at 1 John chapter 2. We want to turn to 1 John chapter 2, the first epistle of John, chapter number 2, and look at verses 15, 16, and 17. The words of God say this, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world. So this is why we're not to love the world, nor the things of the world that are in the world. Because we're told if we love the world, then we can't love the Father. We do not, the love of the Father is not in us. And then we describe here in verse 16 why we're not to love the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. All that is in the world, as John described it here, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, is not of God, but is of the world. And then he reminds us, John reminds us in verse 17, and the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So all of those things that are in the world, amen, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is going to pass away. Amen. But those of us who do the will of God abideth forever. Amen. Now let's look at what the words of God have to say in Proverbs chapter 14. We want to look at Proverbs chapter 14, if you would. Proverbs chapter 14. And in Proverbs chapter 14, look what the words of God say in verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. See? So before we were saved, we walked according to the course of this world. And it seemed right to us. But the words of God tell us that the end of all of that, walking according to the course of this world, are the ways of death. Not only physical death, but spiritual death. Amen. Separation from Almighty God for time and eternity in a lake of fire. So we see, first of all, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, we walked according to the world. We also walked according to the devil. Because it says, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's the devil. You see, the devil has power over the world and the people in the world. See? Without Christ, amen, they follow the way the devil directs them. Amen? Now, look with me, first of all, we want to turn to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4, read with me verses 5 and 6. Here we have the account of where the devil tempts Christ. And it says, in the words of God saying, the devil taking him up, the him being Christ, taking him up into a high mountain, shewed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. So here we see, this shows us, amen, as I stated, amen, that the devil has power over the world and the kingdoms of the world. That's why he was able to offer them to Christ. But of course we know that Christ cut the devil with the word of God. And he said, and Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall they serve. Now let's look at John, the Gospel of John, if you would. Chapter number 8 with me. And in verse 44, notice how Jesus addresses the religious crowd that he's dealing with. He says to them in John chapter 8, verse 44, and ye of your father the devil, in the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. See? So here we see Jesus is dealing with the religious crowd. They weren't followers of him. They weren't being directed by Christ. They were being directed of the devil. They were children of the devil. Amen. And that's how everyone is who's not born again. The devil has power over you, not only you, but all the people of the world that are without Christ. So we see again, we walked according to the world, the devil, and then we see also an evil spirit. Turn with me again to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. And we'll read it from the beginning. It says, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. There's the world. According to the prince of the power of the air. There's the devil. And now, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. an evil spirit, the spirit that is now working in the children of disobedience. There is a spirit of the age, and men without Christ are affected by that spirit, which leads to disobedience against God. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Read with me, if you would, verses 22 and 23. And Samuel said, he's talking to Saul here now, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." So here we see that Saul, King Saul, was being led by that evil spirit, that spirit of disobedience that did not obey the voice of the Lord. And Samuel tells Saul in no uncertain terms, all your religious actions, traditions, all your religious going through the motions, amen, God hates that. He rejects that. He'd rather have you obedient. He'd rather have you be obedient to him than anything else, than all that religious junk. Amen? Also, look with me in Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32, if you would. Now, here in Exodus chapter 32, we have the account of Moses leads Aaron and the children of Israel to go up on the mount. Amen. And he delayed coming down. Now, here are the children of Israel. God had delivered them out of the bondage of Egypt, safely directed them across the Red Sea on dry land to the other side. Now Moses goes up to the mount to meet with God, and he's delayed coming down. And we read in verse 1 of Exodus 32, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down on the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. As for this Moses, that man brought us up out of the land of Egypt, and we want not what has become of him." See? So what happened? Aaron had a great responsibility there. He was in charge while Moses was gone. He knew what was right and was wrong, and what the people asked him to do was wrong. But he did it anyways. See? He made a golden calf for them to worship. And then the people rose up to pray, to play, amen, early in the morning. And they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, amen, to this golden calf. And they ate and they drank and they played. And then we see God's anger. In verse 7, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves." He sends Moses back down. See? And in verse 8, "They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them." Here it is again. "They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them." They knew, the children of Israel and Aaron knew what they were supposed to be, but again, we see that evil spirit of disobedience, amen? disobedient children they were. No sooner had Moses gone up, he was delayed a little while coming down. And what do? Instead of waiting, being patient, praying, giving thanks to God, they quickly turn because they're disobedient people. And that's the spirit of disobedience that is in each one of us before we get saved. Amen? So we see that we walked according to an evil spirit. The spirit of rebellion in our age is leading our nation away from the obedience of the words of God. And we see the problem is spiritual in our country, and therefore the solution is spiritual, not political. All the money in the world is not going to solve our country's problems, because it's spiritual, not material, not political. So all these promises these politicians are making do not mean anything. Amen. They're nothing. They're in vain. Until man's heart changes, nothing is going to change. Until the heart of man gets saved, till man gets born again and becomes obedient to the words and the will of God for his life, nothing's going to change. Amen. A person's authority has to change. He has to no longer come under the authority of the devil in this world, but come under the authority of the words and of Almighty God. Amen. That's the only thing that's going to change, my friend. So we've seen, as we look at our condition before we were saved, we were dead in trespasses and sins. We walked according to the world, the devil, an evil spirit, a spirit of disobedience. And now, looking in verse 3 with me of Ephesians 2, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So here it talks about the lusts of our flesh. That's all we knew to talk about, amen, before we were saved. See? And that's why Hollywood movies, for instance, are filled with sex, violence, foul language, and blasphemy. That's why people like to watch them, amen. And then again, we see the fulfilled desires of the flesh and the mind here in verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. See? Because we were walking in the flesh and didn't have the Spirit of God in us, we had no power against the lusts of the flesh to keep from fulfilling them. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, the words of God say this: "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." Furthermore, though we knew the lusts of the flesh were killing us, we had pleasure in them anyway. Turn to Romans chapter 1 with me. In Romans chapter 1, verse 32, we read this: "Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things as worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." See? Well, we're going to stop there, and we'll continue in chapter number 2 of Ephesians next time we come together. Thank you for joining me today. May God richly bless you is my prayer, and good day.